Visit parktogo.ca and save 15% on parking by using promo code RADIO.
This is the most delicious staycation in the city. QR Calgary and the Dorian Hotel have your chance to win a VIP La Petite Staycation, an amazing prize that includes one-night hotel accommodation for two adults and two kids at the Dorian Hotel, plus a La Petite Chef dining experience at their Bistro Novel restaurant, a one-of-a-kind animated 3D dining experience that is sure to entertain. Enter online at qrcalgary.com. The VIP La Petite Staycation, brought to you by the Dorian Hotel and QR Calgary.
QR Calgary is 770 CHQR AM, a Chorus Entertainment radio station.
This is Global News. I'm Joshua Azizi. The federal conservatives say they will cooperate with the liberals to end the U.S. trade dispute.
Leader Pierre Poilievre met with the conservative caucus on Sunday as they prepare to return to the House of Commons without him in the chamber. Poilievre said he's told Prime Minister Mark Carney that the conservatives are ready to work with the liberals to bring an end to tariffs imposed by the United States. Now, despite showing some cooperation, Poilievre went on to accuse Carney of putting his elbows down when it came to opening exemptions for some counter-tariffs levied against the U.S. Cooperation on any front would mark a departure from the Conservatives' relationship with the previous Liberal government led by former Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. David Augustine, The Canadian Press.
Meanwhile, the Liberal Party caucus has voted against adopting the Reform Act, which would create a formal process for MPs to eject their party leader if the need to do so arises in the future. Parliament resumes on Monday. King Charles will read the throne speech Tuesday. President Donald Trump says the U.S. will delay implementation of a 50% tariff on goods from the European Union to buy time for negotiations with the bloc. Trump says the agreement came after a call Sunday with Ursula von der Leyen, the president of the Euro negotiations with the bloc. Trump says the agreement came after a call Sunday with Ursula von der Leyen, the president of the European Commission.
We had a very nice call and I agreed to move it. I believe June 9th would be, July 9th would be the date. That was the date she requested. Could we move it from June 1st to July 9th? And I agreed to do that. And that she said we will rapidly get together and see if we can work something out.
Trump had threatened to impose the tariff on EU goods in a social media post on Friday. Russia and Ukraine have swapped hundreds of prisoners of war in the largest exchange since the invasion of Ukraine began. Reporter Marcus Moore says the swap came just hours after Ukraine was targeted by a massive Russian missile attack.
This latest offensive, the largest since Russia invaded Ukraine more than 3 years ago, involved nearly 400 ballistic missiles and drones. Ukrainian officials say killing at least 18 people and wounding dozens more. These attacks come amid the conclusion of a historic prisoner swap between the two countries. Both sides agreeing to exchange 1,000 captives each, but despite that cooperation, airstrikes have only seemed to intensify.
The prisoner exchange was arranged during peace talks held in Istanbul earlier this month. The fifth anniversary of the murder of a black man by Minneapolis police is being marked at vigils across the U.S.
In Houston, where George Floyd grew up, civil rights attorney Ben Crump spoke alongside relatives.
That knee on George Floyd's neck was like the knee on black America's neck. And we all are struggling to breathe.
Despite the Trump administration moving to drop court-approved agreements to enforce police reform.
It does not change the reality that we are committed to rebuilding this police department.
So citizens can trust it, says Minneapolis Police Chief Brian O'Hara. I'm ABC's Chuck Sievertson.
The Canadian government will now be deciding whether to list the snowy owl as threatened under the Species at Risk Act.
Earlier this month, the Committee on the Status of Endangered Wildlife in Canada announced it had assessed the bird as threatened. Experts say the decision is yet another concerning sign of the changes shaping Canada's Arctic. The co-chair of the subcommittee overseeing birds says snowy owl observations have declined about 40% over 24 years. That's due to a combination of climate change and other threats. Louise Blight says climate change reduces sea ice and increases shrub cover in the tundra, which both provide important habitat for birds. The snowy owl is also Quebec's official bird. Naira Ahmed, The Canadian Press.
From the Global News Desk, I'm Joshua Azizi.
Thank you.
Live across Canada, this is Conversations with Ben O'Hara Byrne.
Well, thanks for tuning in. Great to have you here. For my entire life, one of the things that I can probably say without really having to look it up is what the exchange rate is between the Canadian dollar and the U.S. dollar. When I was young, my grandmother used to regale me with stories of the time when she was young, or not that young, but, you know, as an adult, when the Canadian dollar was worth more than the American dollar. Then I had the experience of seeing that for myself for a while there, back about 20 some odd years ago, where the Canadian dollar was suddenly up above the US dollar. And it just reminded me of just how important, how primordial the US dollar has been within the global financial system and in our own lives as Canadians for so long. But of course, one of the most interesting things about where the American dollar sits in the global economy is that if someone in Bulgaria wants to trade with someone in neighboring Turkey, they don't do it in each other's domestic currencies. They do it in American dollars. The American dollar is like the English language. It's the thing that everyone understands around the world, whether that's right or not. And certainly there are a lot of countries or blocks, for instance, like the European Union or the Russians or the Chinese, who aren't so thrilled with the fact the Americans have this much power because of the currency. But their dollar rules. And when it comes to trade, it is the common language of trade. It's how countries around the world trade. So, of course, it brings with it a great amount of great benefits to the Americans, right? Their borrowing costs are lower. They can run up huge deficits. They essentially get interest-free loans by selling dollars to other countries who need those dollars to pay for goods, often goods that they buy or sell to America. It's a big, big advantage. They can also wield their control of their currency a bit like a weapon when it comes to things such as sanctions and so on. Think back 10 years ago when they started to really sanction the Iranians, and other countries weren't into the EU, was not into it at all. And they're like, listen, it's our dollar. We can do what we want. Now, it stood unchallenged for decades now, really in the post-war era. It's gotten even more primordial, or taken a bigger place of prominence in the past 20 years or so. But could that age of the U.S. dollar's supremacy becoming to an end? And here's why. Almost all American governments prior to Donald Trump have always seen it as an advantage. You know, not only do they get to wield it, not only do they control the currency that rules the world, they also obviously have the biggest military and are the most powerful country in many ways, but it also allows them a lot of, they know things that are going on in the world economy because everything has to come through an American bank at some point, the American dollar at some point. It allows them to have this sort of bird's eye view of the global economy and also to be able to see into things that are going on. It's a really valuable thing to have. But like many things, including military power, Trump sees it instead as a burden. He thinks that other countries should be paying for this privilege. So he doesn't see the benefits of this, but he does see the hindrance of this. And that means that countries who are already a bit freaked out about the fact that America can essentially sanction whoever they want, don't think the Chinese weren't watching what happened to Russia after they had the further invasion of Ukraine 3+ years ago now, and how quickly those sanctions came into place. Don't think the Chinese, who have so much money tied up in the U.S. dollar, didn't think about what could happen to them if they ever invaded Taiwan, what kind of financial leverage could be used. And so it could be a time where perhaps we're coming to the end of this era, this golden era of the U.S. dollar. Now, there's not really anything getting ready to take its place, but history can go very slowly until suddenly it speeds up. Global's Anne Gaviola reported on this very topic in Waning Confidence on the Dollar recently for Global News. Have a listen.
President Trump is looking to fundamentally restructure the international trading system.
Trump's attempt to disrupt old trade agreements is upending alliances, threatening supply chains, roiling markets, tanking consumer and business confidence, and ultimately raising the probability of a global recession.
This would be terrible for the American economy, and even worse for the global economy.
Analysts say confidence in the Trump administration is waning.
Not playing games are going to make this country greater than ever before.
Questions being raised about Trump's business acumen. Policy decisions.
They are not based on economic facts.
and his financial discipline.
Planned extension of tax cuts well outweigh any savings we've seen from DOGE. It's raised uncertainty in terms of the ability of the American government to rein in its fiscal largesse.
This crisis of confidence showing up in the stock and bond markets. The weakening of the U.S. dollar, the world's reserve currency. Now, the greenback is usually seen as a safe bet, but...
People are now questioning whether the U.S. is reliable, is as stable, as predictable as they would like to see.
Bretton Woods is an international monetary system that established rules for financial relations after World War II, establishing the U.S. as a global anchor of stability for eight decades, a position that's yielded a lot of advantages for America.
Well, the Bretton Woods system was really built on cooperation, you know, a willingness of countries to work together for the good of kind of a stable international monetary system, for open trade as well, knowing that that was the best way to advance economic growth.
History shows that trade wars reduce economic growth, and what Trump may have unleashed with protectionist policy is a new kind of deal.
We may well look back and realize that MAGA was actually the wrong concept. Making America small again may be the outcome.
Yeah, and oddly enough, this is the very topic tackled, or not oddly enough, but fittingly enough, the very topic tackled in a great new book by Ken Rogoff. He's former director of the International Monetary Fund. He's now a professor of economics at Harvard, and he's author of a great book called Our Dollar, Your Problem. And he joins me now. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me, and really a pleasure to speak to a Canadian audience.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously Canadians, if there's what everyone knows a lot around the world about the U.S. dollar. They certainly do. But Canadians talk about it as if it's a family member. When I was young, my grandmother used to talk about the fact, oh, when I was young, the Canadian dollar was worth more than the U.S. dollar. We would drive over from Windsor into Detroit, and we spent like kings. I mean, the American dollar has this unique place in Canadian psyche. But in my lifetime, the dollar really has increasingly become the world's currency. But we don't often stop to think of what exactly happened to allow that to take place.
Well, I mean, for the rich countries, so Europe, Canada, Japan, they weren't rich all the time. But after World War II, there was a system set up with the dollar at the center. But the thing is, there were large swaths of the global economy, China, Russia, India, a lot of Latin America, which were really not integrated in trade. They weren't integrated in finance. So what's happened as India has become part of the global economy, China, Russia was and now it's not, but maybe again someday, and these other countries, they needed to transact internationally much more. And you don't want to, there are 150 currencies. People don't want to have to deal with 150 currencies. So they're really just a few. It is not just the dollar, but the dollar is certainly the big one. And particularly in some of these sort of newly financialized, newly globalized states, they often, almost all of them, started with the dollar.
When you look at that, at the power of that, what advantage that provides, now certainly for the countries that use them, the advantage is the lingua franca. If you know, as you point out in the book, if you're in Bulgaria and you're doing business with someone in Turkey, you're going to use the dollar, even though these are two countries that border on the European Union. You're not going to use the euro. And that allows for an understanding amongst people about the value of things and also their confidence in what's being paid for what or what they're receiving for the good that they're selling. But for America, it's an interesting power dynamic because having control of the world's currency is sort of the one thing that all superpowers espouse to, or at least aspire to. Yeah.
First of all, we the United States pay lower interest rates than we would otherwise. Now, our interest rates right now are higher than yours. But I mean, part of this is we borrow a lot. I've seen studies recently complaining about how much Canada's government borrowing has gone up, I don't know, what is it, 45% of income or something? We're 120% of income. I mean, it's just, we borrow a lot. So our interest rate's lower considering how much we borrow. So how much lower? 0.5% to 1%, it might not sound like much, but you know, if your mortgage is 6% and then 7%, it's a lot. And it applies to everything. It applies to car loans, mortgages. So it's just an incredible privilege the U.S. gets. There's other stuff having to do with the fact that because the dollar is just so on top, we are able to basically negotiate and force having most of the global financial system route through the United States. We don't necessarily see your grocery store purchase in Toronto, but we see a lot of international transactions. I won't get into the details, but it gives the United States this incredible visibility around the world, ability to see.
Yeah. And of course, I mean, even though it is no longer, quote unquote, as good as gold, the idea was that the solidity and the confidence that America inspired and the value of that piece of paper that you were exchanging, in some ways, the dollar itself came to symbolize the strength of America and the consistency and the stability of America as seen as sort of the backstop of this world trading system in some ways. Maybe that's putting it in non-economic terms.
No, it's perfect. It's just exactly true. We had this terrible inflation in the 1970s. The title of the book, Our Dollar, Your Problem, comes from 1971 when we decided to break away from gold. And that's what the arrogant U.S. Treasury Secretary told his colleagues and everybody else in the world who were complaining, you're going to inflate our dollars to nothing. We can't get gold anymore. And he said, well, it's our dollar, it's your problem, which is pretty arrogant. The thing that was ironic about it is that it was our problem, the United States, because we didn't know how to control inflation once we broke away from gold. It took us a while to figure out. And actually, that was a period when the dollar wasn't used as widely. People were looking for other things. As we stabilized, the dollar regrouped. But I have felt for some time that the dollar has somewhat peaked, actually, and it's coming down in its usage slowly. But boy, you know, the actions of the Trump administration, I think, have accelerated that process. People, they're not just worried about the trade, that's what you're looking at. But if we can't trust the United States on that, can we trust that it's going to pay foreigners back on its debt? Do we own what we own? So people are worried much more than just about the trade, although the trade itself is bad for the United States, because if you're a big borrower, and we are so much the world's biggest borrower, throwing a monkey wrench into trade makes it less attractive to lend us. It's without getting into the weeds, it's harder to get your money out if there are lots of tariffs everywhere.
Yeah. Ken Rogoff is with us this half hour. He's a former chief economist at the IMF. He's a professor of economics at Harvard. His book is called Our Dollar, Your Problem. And he just mentioned the origins of that phrase going back to the early 1970s when the U.S. broke away from the gold standard. It obviously carries a somewhat different connotation in 2025, and we'll get to that as well. And also just the unique perspective that Canadians have on the U.S. dollar and how it's affected the Canadian economy over the years. We'll talk about that as well after this. Don't go away.
Hi, can I take your order? Hello?
Oh, hey. Wait, what was the question?
Let me guess. One driving high combo, extra baked?
No. Could I get a burger with a side of fries?
Think you're a better driver when you're high? Think again. Smoking weed affects reaction time and concentration. A message from Mad Canada.
Let's go!
Cheese! So much flavor.
Cheers! Cheers!
It's time to get warmed up!
This is going to be one hell of a competition.
What'd you guys make? The winning meal.
Wow.
There's a party happening in my mouth.
I'm here and I'm hungry.
Whoa. I love to cook.
Ooh, I was called a chef. I must be doing something right.
This spring, only on Flavor Network. Stream on Stack TV.
Brought to you by Pandora, official launch partner of Flavor Network.
Measles outbreaks are occurring in Canada, including Alberta. These outbreaks are highly preventable. Measles is an extremely contagious disease that is spread easily through the air. The best way to protect yourself, your family, and your community is to ensure you are up to date with your immunizations. Don't get measles. Get immunized. Visit alberta.ca/measles to find out if you're up to date and what to do if you're not. A message from the Government of Alberta.
Larry from SAS Comfort Shoes, celebrating their biggest sale ever.
All our SAS shoes are on sale. Save $60 when you buy two pair at regular price, or shop our big inventory clearance, up to 50% off men's and ladies' overstocked shoes.
Excellent. SAS shoes are the only brand with six widths. And now, introducing new styles by Vionic and Remonte. Hurry to SAS Comfort Shoes, across from Chinook Center.
Hi, I'm Debbie.
And I'm Melanie, your fashion stylist at Something to Wear.
No matter the time of year or the event,
we've always got something to wear for you.
We have just what you need to refresh your look.
The wearable trends.
Must-have basics.
Unique finds.
And most importantly, personalized service and style advice.
All of us at Something to Wear are here to help you find the style you love.
At Something to Wear in Aspen Landing and somethingtowear.com.
And follow us on Facebook and Instagram for even more fashion inspiration.
Hi, this is Mark Trozo with Prune It Up, Calgary's premier tree care company. Calgary's extreme weather can be very stressful on your trees and shrubs. Chinooks may feel great for us, but can cause many issues for your trees. At Prune It Up, we take preventative measures year-round to care for your trees to give them the best opportunity to thrive and grow. From pruning, removals, tree shaping, and plant health care programs, look no further than us. Local, skilled, passionate, professional. Spruce it up, green it up, prune it up. We've got you covered.
Ready for a getaway that's a hole-in-one? Welcome to St. Eugene Golf Resort and Casino, your perfect escape. Nestled in the scenic Cranbrook area, they're proud to be a KOA RV park, offering spacious RV sites, two deluxe cabins for cozy comfort, and trailer rentals for easy living. And when you're not relaxing by the fire, you can play their world-class golf course. Your once-in-a-lifetime memory awaits. Book your stay today at steugene.ca.
It's finally here, the last show with David Cooper.
I am David Cooper with the stuff that you're thinking about but are too afraid to ask. We're talking relationships, climate anxiety, that weird thing you saw on TikTok last night, all of it. No filters, just real talk about real life. So grab your emotional support water bottle and tune in.
The last show.
Weeknights at 11 on QR Calgary.
This is Conversations with Ben O'Hara Byrne.
The strength of a nation's currency is based on the strength of that nation's economy. And the American economy is by far the strongest in the world. Accordingly, I have directed the Secretary of the Treasury to take the action necessary to defend the dollar against the speculators. I have directed Secretary Connolly to suspend temporarily the convertibility of the dollar into gold or other reserve assets, except in amounts and conditions determined to be in the interest of monetary stability and in the best interest of the United States.
Ken Rogoff is with us this half hour. His book is called Our Dollar, Your Problem. It's a saying that goes back. It's a phrase that was coined back in the early 70s when the U.S. broke away from the gold standard. It's about the U.S. dollar and its incredible place in the global trading, in the global economy, essentially. It is the currency of note, no pun intended, worldwide when it comes to trade, amongst other things. Just about everyone who needs to trade with each other will do so using U.S. dollars. There's obviously been quite a bit of opposition to this over the years. Ken, it always strikes me, I mean, when I lived in China for a while, I obviously lived in London for a bit and dealt with in Europe quite a bit. There's always been anger, especially amongst the Europeans, particularly amongst the French, about America's privileged position of having this currency, because it does, as you pointed out, give them a ton of power. Has there been much pushback over the years from other countries who are like, listen, you know, we don't agree with this, but no one seems to have found a way to push them aside?
So I think a lot of things that most Americans don't appreciate, and I learned at an early age, traveling, living in Europe, I also played in tournaments in Canada as a teenager and had lots of friends. Everybody loves the United States. Everybody hates the United States. And Americans sort of remember half of that equation. And there are a lot of things people don't like about the way we handle the dollar. So for one thing, we set interest rates according to what's good for the United States, but it might not be good for Canada. And I mentioned all the sanctions that sometimes people don't agree with us about the sanctions. We put Iran's in the news a lot now. We put sanctions, Obama put sanctions on Iran in 2014, and the Europeans did not agree with his strategy. They did not want to do it. And the U.S. said, okay, you don't have to do it, but don't ever try to use our banking system if you do that. Right. And they had to give in. And they don't like it. And of course, the Chinese don't like it because they see what we're doing to Russia, where we put all these sanctions. We made it hard for anybody to trade. And we took their money. Their central bank had $350 billion in treasuries, U.S. debt. And we said, well, we're not taking it from you, but you can't use it and you can't have it, which is, of course, like a default. And the Chinese have $2 trillion with the United States. So long before Trump, there was actually quite a bit of movement, I would say for the past decade, of countries gradually trying to reduce their dependence on the dollar by diversifying into gold, euro, other things, but also more fundamentally creating other financial institutions to try to do trade among themselves that don't pass through a U.S. bank or a U.S. regulator.
Yeah, just the impact on Canada, because, of course, it's an interesting one. So much of how we view ourselves, so much of how we view our own economic well-being is based on the exchange rate. I know that sounds bizarre, but it's a psychological thing. When the dollar is way down, we somehow feel poor compared to our American cousins. And don't forget, it's so close. That border is often just something you drive across, and it doesn't really feel like you've changed topographies or peoples. But all of a sudden, you're in a place where your dollars were 30% less, and all of a sudden, you feel poor. Whereas when the dollar moves ahead of the U.S. dollar, as it has a few times in the past 20 years, all of a sudden, we feel flush, and we feel good about ourselves. What's been the impact of America's dollar dominance on its closest neighbor?
So first, I want to say, and I confess, I wrote this paper over 30 years ago. I was asked to give a presentation to the Federal Reserve Board, our central bank in Washington, explaining this newfangled currency, the euro that was emerging, the single currency in Europe. And I tried to say, you don't think of this as an economic project. It's political. Mm. But to illustrate the point, I went through all the criteria that were being held up by the Europeans as to why it was such a great idea, why we're so similar. And I said, let's treat California as a country and let's treat Canada as a state. Forgive me, I didn't know anything about Donald Trump.
It's okay. Sure.
And Canada's economy is more correlated with the other 49 states than California's is. Like a lot of these different measures, they're very integrated, the two economies. So it's not surprising, you know, that when there's a business cycle in the U.S., you know, Canada feels it. And when the U.S. Does some dumb policy with its interest rates or tariff policy, which was a dumb policy, or these things, it's very painful to Canada. I will tell you, if California could be a country, I bet they would. I mean, I think it's a real privilege to be your own country. I guarantee you, if they put that up for a vote, which we wouldn't allow, Texas would surely vote to be a country. So there's a lot of benefits to being a country, but you can't break free of this trading area, of this economic integration. The two countries, Canada and the U.S., are economically joined at the hip.
Yeah. And therefore, because of the dollar, the one thing that I feel as if in Canada is that, I suppose what I was trying to get at is what's been the impact then? Because we've benefited from America's grandeur in many ways, whether it be militarily, we're part of the G7, even though maybe we shouldn't be. A lot of things about America's power has benefited us. Has America's dollar dominance benefited us?
Well, not particularly more than Japan or... Right. Australia or somebody else. Canada, of course, is a country where a lot of your foreign borrowings in U.S. dollars, but not all of it. I mean, I think if you were to line up corporate borrowing for Australia and Canada, so that's really a measure of, do you have to borrow in U.S. dollars? Can you use Canadian dollars? They're actually kind of similar, but, okay, you know, overwhelmingly dollars. Yeah, I mean, obviously there are so many ways in which Canada is more vulnerable to the United States than anyone else, because physically it's hard to trade away from the United States. It's, you know, you've got this giant border. But I think it's sort of the same kind of problems that our monetary policy, what we set the interest rate at, is not necessarily what Canada needs. Canada sets its own interest rate, but because the dollar is so important in Canada, the Bank of Canada has to pay attention to what the United States is doing. Yeah. And of course, we don't see the back and forth, but there's stuff in our use of the information from all this banking system and spying that I think Canadians would not like if they knew more about it.
Yeah. I mean, right now, actually, the Canadian dollar has been strengthening a bit, but there is obviously an interest rate difference between the U.S. and Canada. Interest rates are higher in the U.S., so the dollar's down a bit on that. And then there's a risk premium, of course, because of the uncertainty around the tariffs, and that's driven down a lot of currencies, including the Canadian one. Ken Rogoff is with us this half hour. His book is called Our Dollar, Your Problem. It's all about the U.S. dollar and how it came to find its place of dominance, and will it maintain it? Because, of course, the new administration, not seeing this as a privilege, having this dominant world trading currency, is seen more as a burden or a tool, a leverage tool. We'll talk about that after this.
This week on Model Makeover, we take the old Tiguan and upgrade it with more horsepower, more towing capacity, and accessorize the new model with cutting-edge tech and premium finishes.
Didn't expect a makeover show-style commercial for a car ad? Find more than what you're expecting at Fifth Avenue Volkswagen, where the redesigned 2025 Tiguans have arrived. Fifth Avenue Volkswagen, just off Barlow, online at fifthavvw.com.
Simply stunning.
Register today for the first annual Kindness Classic, a family-friendly golf tournament for all ages in support of Kids Up Front Calgary, September 7th at Blue Devil Golf Club. It'll be a day of fairways, families, and philanthropy. Everyone is invited to participate. Kids, parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles can enjoy 9 holes of golf together while giving back to our community. To register or to become a sponsor, visit kidsupfrontcalgary.com.
More than a ticket.
How does your brand break through?
Oh, yeah.
Chorus Creative. Video, audio, digital, whatever your brand needs, we create it. Click to choruscreative.ca. Chorus Creative. We create.
Shoppers Foundation for Women's Health knows too many women have been lost to health inequities. That's why we're working to improve access to equitable and inclusive care. It's time to make women's health visible. Get to know the facts at shoppersfoundation.ca.
The Cedar Shop, bringing nature to you.
Find your inspiration today at The Cedar Shop. You already know them for their cedar, but did you know they are also Calgary's largest in-stock inventory of pressure-treated lumber? The Cedar Shop is also home to Calgary's most interactive composite decking display, where you can touch and feel the end product. Ask about Cedar Shop's free in-town delivery. Shop in-store or online at cedarshop.com.
The Cedar Shop.
Gluten-free doesn't mean you have to miss out. The Cookie Jar is Calgary's 100% gluten-free bakery.
Hey, it's Devin from The Cookie Jar. We know how hard it is to manage a gluten-free diet, so we created a place where everything is 100% gluten-free without sacrificing the flavor. Have you been craving cake, bread, cookies, or pizza? Then come in for a visit and see how delicious gluten-free can be.
Visit The Cookie Jar Gluten-Free Bakery at 128 28th Street Southeast, or Google The Cookie Jar Calgary to see everything they offer.
Sometimes great pizza leads to problems, like you don't want to commit to just one kind of pizza, or maybe you want an extra slice when the pizza's done. Tom's House of Pizza has your back with their all-you-can-eat pizza buffet. Monday to Friday from 11:30 to 2, enjoy all-you-can-eat pizza and salad for $11.95 with beverage purchase. Available in the pub at Tom's House of Pizza's McLeod Trail and Okotoks locations. Unlimited slices, so much pizza to choose from. Discover the legendary lunch buffet at Tom's House of Pizza.
In a world where it's easy to get wrapped up in distractions, we need to stop and ask an important question. Will you say yes to mental health? Put down your cell phone.
turn off the TV and the laptop, and just ask, what does saying yes to mental health mean to you? Is it getting yourself counseling, supporting a loved one, or donating time or money to an urgently needed mental health program? Whatever saying yes to mental health means to you, please visit woodshomes.ca and say yes today.
Hi, I'm Donna Friesen from Global National. Life moves fast these days, and we want to make it even easier for you to get the news you need. That's why you can now get Global National every day as a podcast. The biggest stories of the day with analysis from award-winning global news journalists. New episodes drop every day, so take this as your personal invitation to join us on the Global National podcast. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
At the end of the day, it's engaging talk that matters. You're listening to Conversations with Ben O'Hara Byrne.
Okay, currency. Very important.
Yes.
And if you want to go to third world, if you want to go to third world status, lose your reserve currency. We have to have that. We cannot lose it. If you go to, you'll go to third world status in this country because you take a look at the way things are running. If a country tells me, sir, we like you very much, but we're going to no longer adhere to being in the reserve currency. We're not going to salute the dollar anymore. I'll say that's okay. And you're going to pay a 100% tariff on everything you sell into the United States. And we love your product. I hope you sell a lot of it into the United States, but you're going to pay 100%. He will then follow it up by saying, sir, it would be an honor to stay with the reserve currency.
Ken Rogoff is a former chief economist at the International Monetary Fund. He's now a professor of economics at Harvard. His book is called Our Dollar, Your Problem. It's all about the U.S. dollar. That's a phrase coined back in the early 1970s when the Americans went off the gold standard. Others complained about that driving up inflation in their countries, and they said essentially, well, it's your problem. And here we are at a very different time, a very different chapter in all this. The dollar is far more dominant now than it was when, you know, I was born back in the early 1970s. Ken, it's been interesting to watch the Trump administration treat many things that America has, or America privileges, we would call them if you're in another country, soft power, in the case of currency, maybe even hard power with a bit of a soft tinge. But for the administration to all of a sudden see this as either both a bit of a burden, B, a bit of a something you could sell, like essentially like a bit of a protection racket. What's driving this very different attitude about the privileged place of the dollar globally in this administration? What kind of impact could it have?
You know, I teach at Harvard, I'm guilty, but I don't have what they call Trump derangement syndrome. I mean, I think some things he's right, some things he's wrong. Mm-hmm. His vision of, I'll take away politics, his vision of the global economic system is just dumb. I mean, I don't have any words for it. And so, first of all, his whole goal of bringing back manufacturing jobs to the United States is just silly. But on top of that, you know, he has this, there's this claim that because the U.S. is the currency everybody wants, it makes it too valuable and then makes it hard for the U.S. to compete. And I don't want to go into the weeds, but I'll only say, and I think you would have seen this, there are times the dollars, the U.S. dollars worth very much less than it is now. You mentioned, you know, when you were young, the dollar, the Canadian dollar being worth more. But the mm-hmm. U.S. dollar was the reserve currency. It was the lingua franca then. The U.S. ran, you know, surpluses in its current account, which is a broad measure of trade. Back in the 60s and 70s, the U.K., which was the England sort of ruled, you know, the world after the Napoleonic Wars in the early 1800s. They weren't running trade deficits. It's not a corollary. Yeah, it's a little bit like it's true that because Canada is so rich in natural resources, it does bid up wages. So Alberta has a lot of oil, and I actually haven't checked, but I bet it's harder to hire labor in Alberta because the oil money is bidding up the wages. And okay, the U.S. has a powerful financial sector. It's not such a big part of the economy, but it helps make things more expensive. But that's not why the U.S. isn't competing with China, India, Vietnam. It's many, many things. It's just a small part of the problem. And Trump wants to throw out the baby with the bathwater. I mean, this is just, we're paying, we owe $37 trillion, and an extra interest point on that, if we lose our exorbitant privilege, it'd be $370 billion a year more we pay in interest, if you can get your head wrapped around that. And, you know, and then all this other stuff of, again, when I was young, my friends were getting drafted into the Vietnam War. And nowadays, there's no question the U.S.'s ability to impose financial sanctions, thanks to the dollar's dominance, has lessened that. Do we really want to go back to the other situation? It's, you know, again, I don't think everything Trump does is wrong by any means. I mean, his methods and his personality is another matter. And I'm talking about economics. I don't get into social stuff. But I don't think everything's wrong. But this, I don't know what his view of the world is. It's really misguided to me. And he's going to say he'll prove right. No, not on this. The only thing he's going to do is retreat, because it's so clear he's wrong.
Yeah. Although you've mentioned, you know, this goes back to the book, that America's privileged position of having this currency, of having this, you know, this international, this global currency, essentially, has been a great boon to it. And to sort of, and it's based a lot on sort of faith and confidence. It's not really based on much else. I mean, it is, but a lot of it's based on this idea that America represents something.
And if you start to, the rule of law,
there you go. And independence of your central bank, which is another thing that has come up. I mean, to sort of flush that away to some extent is strikes me as being kind of it's a bizarre move, because what do you get out of trying to turn the screws on other countries for using your currency?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these things where Trump is his own worst enemy, where, you know, he'll hear what the advisors say and he just can't control himself. He doesn't like the fact that much of the world respects Jay Powell. He's the head of the Federal Reserve. Mm-hmm. They respect his opinion on the economy more than Trump's. He can't stand it. He doesn't like that the Federal Reserve is setting this interest rate that everybody's looking at. Don't look at them. Look at me. Look at Donald Trump. He can't resist that there's control. And of course, on the tariffs, it's a bad economic policy, but if you like attention, you want the world kowtowing to you, except Canada, you want the world kowtowing to you, great policy. It's just very hard to get your head wrapped around what he's thinking.
Yeah. It's been interesting. Of course, we now have a central banker as a prime minister, which is a first for us. And I don't think there have been many who've become leading politicians anywhere, at least in the G7. It's been interesting to watch because, of course, I always think of Mark Carney as someone who's come from right of that world. And it seems so diametrically opposed to Donald Trump's view of the world economically. And yet he seems to have shown him a fair amount of respect. What was your, I mean, this is a bit of an aside from the book and many other things. But it's interesting that you talk about Jay Powell. And now, of course, we have one of Jay Powell's former colleagues, essentially, who was the, you know, governor of the Bank of Canada and the Bank of England, as our prime minister.
I honestly think Donald Trump likes Mark Carney, and that's just worth a lot. I mean, right. I think he's known him back. He respects him, and it makes it easier to deal with Trump if he respects you. So if you have that starting point of personal respect, it goes away. I mean, there's still, you haven't settled everything by any stretch of the imagination, but I think Trump is just in full retreat. The reason the U.S. markets have strengthened are because they see Trump folding in one case after another. I mean, he basically got nothing out of China. He's claiming he did, and he's getting nothing out of China. What's he going to get out of Canada? So Carney certainly set the way. I mean, I think most small countries were just saying, you know, I don't want to get eaten by the bear. I mean, I'll just try to, you know, avoid it. And he played, so far, it seems like he played it really well.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, obviously, politics is a tough game, but so far seems to have been it's a tough game for especially for someone coming in from a central bank background. Ken Rogoff is with us this hour. His book is called "Our Dollar, Your Problem." It's all about the U.S. dollar, and of course, it's a really interesting book that dives much deeper than we are right now. We're kind of skimming across the topic because there's so much going on politically and internationally that fits right into the narrative of the book. We'll talk about whether the U.S. dollar could ever be replaced as a global currency after this, and how fast it could happen. And if it does, that's next.
The best high concept sci-fi rigmarole in the universe is back.
What the hell? Oh, shit. How long was I out?
Close airlock 7!
Beth, please let me out.
I put you in there for a reason, Steve.
Mom, just get back here! This is for your own good!
Rick and Morty, new season, Sundays. On Adult Swim, stream on Stack TV.
Get your mouth round it.
Alberta has always been good to us. Its lands have fed and nourished us. Its pioneering spirit, fueling and pushing us forward. It's a place that has what we want, what we need, what the world needs. So let's raise a glass for Alberta. From Alberta. Visit raiseaglassab.ca to support Alberta's brewers and distillers. Brought to you by AGLC and Travel Alberta.
Remember that email you sent to your manager this morning?
Yeah, still no reply.
Meanwhile, at Mr. Lube Plus Tires, you're already in, out, and back on the road. No appointment, no waiting. Done before your boss can even type,
"Just circling back."
Oil changes, tires, and more. Fast, friendly, appointment-free, and always on your schedule. Mr. Lou Plus Tires is open 8 to 8, 7 days a week. So while your inbox ghosts you, we get it done. Rediscover Mr. Lou Plus Tires. Ready when you are.
Overnight Expedite is here to keep your packages and parcels moving. With Overnight Expedite's X-Pack mailbag service, you can ship almost anywhere in Alberta with next day delivery for just $12 plus GST. No hidden fees, no hassle. From Edmonton to Medicine Hat, from Grand Prairie to Red Deer, One Transport Group are Alberta's locally owned courier service. Overnight Expedite, proudly part of One Transport Group. Overnight Expedite. When time matters, they deliver. Visit shipexpedite.com today to learn more.
Kids Up Front presents thank you letters from the kids themselves.
Dear Kids Up Front, thank you for the tickets for the play. I love fairy tales. My favorite part was with Red Riding Hood and the wolf. I watched the movie next day too.
Help make a core memory today by donating your tickets, money, or time. Visit kidsupfrontcalgary.com.
More than a ticket.
As our bodies age, they bring some aches and pains that we haven't had before. And isn't that awesome? Hi, Gord Gillies here for Active Sports Therapy. Their unified team of over 30 expert practitioners have one common goal, to help you truly enjoy all the things you love. Don't suffer through shoulder, hip, or lower back pain. Do something about it with a combination of physiotherapy and sports chiropractic care, including active release techniques, laser, shockwave, acupuncture, and more. All under one roof. Get active about your health and start at activesportstherapy.ca.
A new roof is a critical investment for your home. Do you know the difference between a roof built to last and a roof that underperforms?
Robbie the Roofer from Calgary Elite Roofing.
At Elite Roofing, we want to prove to Calgarians that we are accountable. How do we do that? We give you peace of mind with our superior warranty. We're also proud members of the Better Business Bureau and the Calgary Construction Association. And when you call, we're there for you, even evenings and weekends.
Want accountability built into your new roof? Then you want Robbie the Roofer.
Get a quote started today at calgaryeliteroofing.ca.
Turn your hockey nights into the ultimate hockey getaway with QR Calgary and Deerfoot Inn and Casino. Entry is easy. Watch the playoffs at the Wild Horse Pub Island Bar or Cactus Lounge inside the Deerfoot Inn and Casino and fill out the ballot. The more you join, the better your chances are at this once-in-a-lifetime grand prize. Two tickets to a Stanley Cup final game, travel to the host city, hotel accommodations, and $500 spending cash. The lucky winner will be selected at the end of the third round of the playoffs. Brought to you by the Deerfoot Inn and Casino and QR Calgary.
Listening to Conversations with Ben O'Hara Byrne.
The BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, are making a bold move. They aim to create a new currency. This has the potential to reshape the global financial landscape. The BRICS currency is designed to challenge the dominance of the US dollar. The initiative is driven by several factors. BRICS nations are concerned about the impact of US sanctions on their economies. They also seek to reduce their reliance on the dollar for trade and investment. The BRICS currency represents a shift away from a US-centric financial system. The proposed currency is still in its early stages. Details about its implementation and backing remain unclear. However, the very idea of a BRICS currency has sent ripples through the global economy.
Ken Rogoff is with us this hour. His book is called Our Dollar, Your Problem. He's a former chief economist at the IMF and a professor of economics at Harvard. You write something interesting in the book that, you know, history has a way of being very slow and all of a sudden accelerating very quickly. I can't imagine anything replacing the U.S. dollar in its position, in its incredibly powerful position within the global economy. And yet you say that, I mean, countries are agitating. The Chinese don't like where this is going. They don't like what they saw with how the U.S. Went after Russia and its holdings, its treasury T-bill holdings after the further invasion of Ukraine. The Europeans have always been a bit cagey about the American power that's linked to having so much power with the dollar. The pot is stirring, so to speak.
So I think people, particularly younger people, don't understand that these tectonic shifts happen. I didn't imagine that the Soviet Union was going to disappear. I mean, after the fact, you could make up stories, but I don't know if it had to happen. I never imagined that Europe would, and I was following it closely, that Europe would succeed at having a single currency across Europe. I never imagined that China would grow to be what it is today. I worked at the Federal Reserve in the early 1980s. You told us that all we'd be talking about is China today. And here working at the Federal Reserve in the International Division, very well-informed place. We just thought it was a joke. I mean, you've got to be kidding. So these things have a way of changing. And the currencies don't stay on top forever. Typically a century or maybe a little longer. And by that measure, the dollar's getting a little old in the tooth. Certainly being so far on top is difficult to sustain. Actually, 20 years ago, we weren't seeing this. We were thinking China would break away, Europe would do better than it did. It was a surprise that the dollar did as well. So some of this is just, you know, things going back, China breaking free, Europe doing better. But I also think the U.S. has decided it immortal, that we can spend whatever we want, no one will care. I mean, we run deficits that if you did in Canada, the government would get voted out of office. I mean, we have, I think, during a very strong economy, it's not a recession, we're running over a 6% of GDP deficit. That's a big, fat number. Trump, whatever his bluster, is going to boost it. And I think if Harris, who was running against him, had won, she'd have done that too. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a real vulnerability. And you mentioned Federal Reserve independence. That is what has replaced the gold standard. And by the way, I have to say, I mean, I wrote the first paper on this over 40 years ago, and when there weren't independent central banks. And so I'm a big fan of it. But a lot of the political community is on this over 40 years ago, and when there weren't independent central banks. And so I'm a big fan of it. But a lot of the political community is not. Donald Trump doesn't like it. And frankly, a lot of the Democrats don't like it. And if that goes, it's a big mistake, but it's going to, all these things are going to undermine the dollar. So I finished the book on election day. I couldn't touch it. I didn't know who was going to win, but I felt the following decade would be a more turbulent one with the problems with the U.S. debt, with people breaking away from the dollar, having inflation come back, having financial crises. When I wrote it and told people about it, they said, no, you know, you're being so pessimistic. I mean, I said it in a sober way. And now they're saying, why were you so optimistic? What really turned around?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to see what could replace it in the short term. Well, and it feels like, I mean, if we've lived with it for long enough, that's what happened. You live with something for a while, then you think it could never be any different. You forget that it was different in your own lifetime. You know, that's part of the issue.
No. But Latin America does a lot of trade with Europe. They can easily do much more in euro than they do now. And Europe's greatly improving its financial sector. They're developing a digital euro that makes it much easier for foreigners to use. China's done the same thing. So yeah, you may not use the euro or the RMB or crypto, which is another competitor in Vancouver. But if you're in Beijing, if you're in Johannesburg, if you're in Rio, you will not necessarily be using the dollar as much. And so what's happened, the dollar has colonized the whole world. And it's some of that colonial empire that's coming apart.
It's a fascinating book and obviously prescient. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Ken Rogoff is a former chief economist at the International Monetary Fund. He's now a professor of economics at Harvard. And the book is called Our Dollar, Your Problem, an insider's view of seven turbulent decades of global finance and the road ahead. And this idea that the American dollar could one day lose its position of supremacy, you heard at the beginning there, the BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa could come together, amongst others, could come together and create their own currency. There's been this long struggle to try to get out from underneath the sort of the thumb of the American dollar. But for now, it remains the global currency, the lingua franca. It's been interesting to see Donald Trump treat that as a burden more than a blessing. And we'll see where it goes from there. That's it for Conversations. My thanks to the whole team, as always, Santiago and Brennan. We have a big show coming up on Wednesday, including an interview with a really interesting guy called Lewis Pugh. He's an endurance swimmer. He's also a UN ambassador for the oceans. And next month, with the 50th anniversary since the release of Jaws, he set out to swim around Martha's Vineyard, where the movie was set, essentially, to raise awareness about sharks and how much good they do, not how much bad they do. That and much more coming up on the show on Wednesday. Until then, I'm Ben O'Hara Byrne. Thanks for listening. Just point me where you wanna go.
Take me to the... Alberta has always been good to us. Its lands have fed and nourished us. Its pioneering spirit, fueling and pushing us forward. It's a place that has what we want, what we need, what the world needs. So let's raise a glass for Alberta. From Alberta. Visit raiseaglassab.ca to support Alberta's brewers and distillers. Brought to you by AGLC and Travel Alberta.
Goodbye, Mr. Singh.
Hey, honey.
Hi, Mom. I'm just leaving school now.
Okay, thanks for calling. I'll see you soon.
Mom, I'm home.
Oh, wow, that was fast.
The Alberta government is building 90 new schools across the province, giving more kids a chance to walk to school. Learn more at alberta.ca/schools now. A message from the Government of Alberta.
I'm Susan Holzman with the Calgary Children's Foundation. QR Calgary is happy to welcome Agnew Insurance, representing cooperators, as our Hero of the Month. Agnew Insurance is well known for their outstanding service when it comes to your insurance and financial needs. What you might not know is their dedication to their community and local charities. This month, Agnew Insurance will be making a generous donation to the Calgary Children's Foundation to help make the lives of children better in our community. Join QR Calgary as we salute Agnew Insurance as our Hero of the Month.
Hey, Dad, did you know when a village comes together, we can do amazing things?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like helping families have a safe place to stay and letting kids like me just be kids.
What do you mean?
I'm talking about In From the Cold. We learned about it at school. They're matching donations until June 8th.
Sounds like you've been doing your homework.
Maybe a little. We should donate.
You're a pretty smart kid. You know that?
Yeah. I know. So can we? I've got allowance money.
All right. Let's do it.
A village can open doors for families facing homelessness. Visit avillagecan.ca to donate today.
How does an event get noticed? Chorus Creative. Video, audio, digital, whatever your event needs, we create it. Click to chorus creative.ca. Chorus Creative. We create.
Hey Calgary, Shaman here, and I'm CEO at Hope Street Property Management. If you've ever thought about renting out your house, give me a shout, because now is a great time. The market's hot, and we have hundreds of pre-qualified tenants looking for great rental homes just like yours. Check out hopestreet.ca to learn more or for your free online rental evaluation.
Hope Street, helping busy homeowners manage their rentals and become armchair landlords who sleep easy.
hopestreet.ca.
Hear the amazing stories of everyday Calgarians doing amazing things. Tune in to True Calgarian on Connect with Sarah Crosby, Wednesdays in the 4 p.m. hour. True Calgarian is powered by Lone Star Mercedes, driving luxury.
Lone Star.
Let's go, girls.
QR Calgary welcomes Shania Twain to the Calgary Stampede on Saturday, July 5th.
Man, I feel like a woman.
Tickets are on sale now, but QR Calgary is your shot at scoring your way there.
Okay, so you're a rocket scientist. That don't impress me much.
Listen to Morning Brew with Andrew or enter at QRCalgary.com for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Shania this Calgary Stampede.
QR Calgary is 770 CHQR AM, a Chorus Entertainment radio station. Distinctly Calgary. Global News Mornings. QR Calgary.
Morning. Thank you so much for being with us. It was a very nice weekend. Very nice. Even yesterday, later in the evening, it was warm. Things starting off warm this morning as well. We're in double digits, sitting at 12 degrees this Monday morning. It'll be a nice morning. Chance of showers this afternoon. Leslie will know more about that. She'll be joining us in just a few minutes. She's keeping an eye on weather for us throughout the morning, as well as some traffic. Topping our news this morning, King Charles III will arrive in Ottawa later this morning for his first visit to our country as monarch. The king will deliver the speech from the throne tomorrow, a task normally done by the governor general. His mother, Queen Elizabeth II, only did it twice during her 70-year reign. The last time was in 1977. As Eric Sorensen reports, the royal visit is being seen as highly symbolic, underscoring Canada's sovereignty.
When King Charles stopped at Canada House in London on Tuesday, he was shown a large floor map of the country, a prelude to a visit that will demonstrate Canada's historic ties to the British monarchy, and more importantly, will symbolize this country's distinct sovereignty in North America.
This is an historic honor which matches the weight of our times.
The King's presence will be a counterweight to Donald Trump's vision.
That is a clear... It clearly underscores the sovereignty of